Hey, everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to episode 142 of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. So today we're going to be interviewing Mike Crisp. If you guys don't know who Mike Crisp is, he just put together, I say just, it would be about 3 months ago at this point, but 3 months ago, Mike Crisp put together one of the most shocking runs at one of the biggest tournaments of all time. So really in the biggest tournament of all time when you think about division size. And so the ADCC West Coast Trials is a really, really cool, really big tournament. As a lot of you guys know, I got stuck in Vegas while I was out there coaching. And it's actually where I ran into Mike. We would not have gotten this episode most likely if I hadn't gotten stuck in Vegas. I was supposed to be gone, and I met him at a coffee house and got to talk to him. It was really interesting in talking to him after watching him compete for 2 days, and he is a fierce, rough, hard-nosed competitor. And I walk up to him and I say, "Hey man, congratulations on your performance." And he was so humble. It was unbelievable. He was so nice. He was kind. He was talking to someone who she honestly didn't even look like she did jiu-jitsu, or maybe is newer to jiu-jitsu. He was having a conversation with this girl that obviously had just seen him compete, and he was just being really nice. And then we start talking, and he doesn't know who I am. Not that that would matter anyway, but we get to start talking, and he was just a really, really nice guy. And it was very interesting to me to want to know, my curiosity wanted to know about his mindset. I said, okay, well, he was rough and tough. He's got cuts all over his face from headbutting and being headbutted. You know, where is the difference? Where are these two different people? And I get to find that out in today's episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. We'll leave that as the teaser, and then we will go ahead and just jump into this episode. I really think you guys are going to really enjoy this one, especially people who are wanting to compete and not from the biggest areas, you know, not from the biggest schools in the world, but are from places like where Mike is from, and you know, you can still compete and perform at a really high level. And so I think that a lot of people will get benefit from this one. So without further ado, here's the episode. Before we get into the episode, hey guys, Josh here, just in case you didn't recognize my voice. But anyway, before we get into the episode, if you guys have not done it yet, give me a 5-star review on whatever platform you are listening to this show on. If you're watching on YouTube, give me whatever you're supposed to give me, a like, a comment, a subscribe, whatever you're supposed to do on YouTube. But regardless, give me some type of feedback letting me know how much you guys are enjoying the show and how much you are getting out of this free content. I cannot keep producing free content unless I'm getting 5-star reviews, because that is what is boosting my brand and helping me reach other people just like you and help them suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. So I won't ramble on. Give me that 5-star review whenever you get a chance, whenever you're free. I get it. You're busy. You're listening to the podcast in traffic right now. It would be impossible for you to pull out your phone and then press 2 buttons and take 5 seconds and give me a 5-star review. But that's all I have for you guys. Let's go ahead and jump right in to the episode. All right, Mike, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I am doing good. I'm excited about this one. We talked about it. When was trials? Like 3 months ago now?
Yeah, April. First and second, April 2nd and 3rd.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So it was a while ago, but now we're finally going to get here to do it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I was away in Croatia for a month. So
how was Croatia?
It was unreal, man. It was a little too hot for me. Uh-huh. I don't know how you do with heat, but it was like 40 degrees and I was like trying to work out and just fucking dying. It's good though. Really cool. I got to do some skydiving, got to sail on a yacht around Croatia. We got to do a lot of cool stuff out there. So it was really cool.
That is cool. What was your Was that just kind of your plan after trials? You wanted to go to Croatia?
I had that booked way before trials. I almost actually didn't do trials. My buddy, Ben Dyson, like my best friend and training partner and the guy who owns the gym I train at, did one trials a couple of years ago at Euros. So He actually went to ADCCs in 2019. And I was humming and hawing about doing trials and he's like, fucking pull your socks up and go do it. And I was like, okay. So I signed up and then I already had all this Croatia stuff booked. So it was my first vacation in like 4 years that wasn't jiu-jitsu related.
Nice. Nice. Did you get to train at all in Croatia?
No, just, I got to work out, but I was mostly on the islands. So I went from like Hvar to Bol or Brac to this. And I just like kind of bummed around the islands mostly. They didn't really have any gyms out there.
That's cool. What was the highlight of the trip?
Probably skydiving. I went skydiving and I jumped once and like hit the ground and immediately was like, I want to go again. And I went back up and jumped a second time like 30 minutes later.
Well, that was your first time skydiving?
That was my second and third time.
Okay.
But the first time skydiving, I feel like I was so fucking scared that I just didn't even get to enjoy it because I was so stressed jumping that I was like, but this time, like as soon as we left the plane, I was like, good. I was like, cool, calm, fucking just enjoyed like every second of it. It was fucking unreal.
So if you were going to sell somebody on skydiving, if you were going to say, hey, you need to go skydiving, what would be the sales? What would you tell them? If I was
going to sell it to someone who'd fought or like done jujitsu, like, and competed in some sort of that kind of sport, I'd tell them that it's exactly like when you step on the mat. It's like the only thing you think about is that second. You're like in the moment completely. There's no like, oh, is my girlfriend mad at me? Or like, oh, I can't believe I said this to that person 6 years ago or whatever the fuck. But it's like that moment, you're just living in like that moment. It was fucking surreal. It was so cool.
That's awesome. Did you after trials you went straight to Croatia, right? You were just—
No, I went in June, so I just got back.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, so I had a couple months just stayed. I actually finished trials and then went right back into the gym like the day I got back to Vancouver.
How has training been for you? Has it been exactly the same? Has it been any different? Do you get new visitors? Anything change for you?
Yeah. I mean, the gym that my buddy owns is new. So we just opened. And I feel like having two guys with ADCC trials medals in there was like a big deal for Vancouver, especially. Like, we're the only two in Vancouver that I know of that have any medals from any ADCC medals. And yeah, we got a ton of new visitors. Like, it was like kind of cool. Like, people knew who I was and it was really weird. Actually, I'm never used to it because I've like been doing combat sports since I was 13 and I've never really had any success at the big tournaments. I kind of lose at like semi or quarters and never get to the medal rounds. So it was, yeah, it was kind of sick getting back. As far as training, I feel like I came back with a little more confidence. I'm like a little more like, oh shit, like I can actually do some shit. So everything kind of started to fit a little better. I was a little more like, go get it. And it was really good, actually.
Was there a specific match in general that you feel like you gained a lot of that confidence, or was it just the overall performance of the tournament?
I'd say my Dom Bell match.
That's what I thought too. I noticed a difference in the competitor between— I actually rewatched all your matches in the lead up to this. And I think if anyone wanted to do that, because some of your matches are like 10 and 15 seconds. But I think a rewatch of that, you can really see the confidence difference in, you know, it just from that match, beating a really big name, someone really tough, big name. And then you could just see it from there. It really carried over.
So good. And Dom Bell, like, I've known who Dom Bell was forever. And I like, went up to him before the match and I was like, hey, man, like, I'm a big fan. He was like, okay, bud, like, like, leave me alone until after. But yeah, fair enough. And then probably he was so good. Dombo was so good, like so technical. I really never, there wasn't a lot of time in that match where I felt like I could just like sit and like relax. He like off balanced me whenever I was in his like open guard. Even when he was standing, he kept going like two on one, making me back up. I don't usually have to back up a ton when I wrestle with people. But yeah, after that match, I was like, oh shit, okay, let's go. Like, I just fucking beat Don Bell. What the fuck? It was fucking cool.
That was a really, that was a fun win, man. It was fun, right? You know, standing right on the sideline, to be totally honest, I wasn't watching Mike Crisp. I was like, let's watch Don Bell fight this guy with all the tattoos. And then as the match kept going, me and my student that were there were like looking at each other going, hey, I think the deeper this match goes, I think the more that tattoo guy, I think he's going to have a chance here. You know, he's looking good on the feet, and man, you put it together at the end of that match. Yeah. Really was great, great performance there.
Yeah. He almost pulled my fucking head off, but it was good. I got like that little like lull where I got that big double leg and almost took his back. And yeah, I was like, fuck. I was fucking tired by the end of that match, though. I was fucking tired of that.
And that
and then I had Sloan right after.
That was the beginning of day two, right?
Yeah, that was my first match on the day two.
Have you competed in events that were 2 days before?
No.
Was it different waking up day two and having to compete, or were you able to kind of just?
I honestly, my first day, the only real hard match that I have, not to take anything away from, sorry. The other competitors, Zeus.
You were fine. It's funny that Zeus interrupts you, because probably in a few minutes when the mailman comes by, Thor is going to interrupt my podcast on my side.
I have Zeus, and then I have another one called Tweety. Come here, bud. Zeus.
All right. He looks a lot more like a Zeus than my Thor looks like a Thor. My Thor is pretty tiny.
Yeah. And then I have my girl who probably won't come down for this, but the second day, my first day, I only had really one tough match, and that was with Benji Silva. So that was a hard match. That was a gritty fought match, and I came up with a win in that. But my first match was 14 seconds. And my third match was like 45 seconds a minute. And they're both just quick subs. And so I felt like super good going into the second day.
That makes sense.
My body felt good. I like wasn't really sore or anything. I had a great sleep. And then woke up just ready to go.
So that is kind of like, I think the main thing that I think is going to be really interesting in this podcast. We didn't mention this, but we met right after that. I think we were getting coffee, and we were still at the hotel that the event was at. And so I just got to talking, and you had said the same thing you've already said on the podcast, like, man, this was one of the best performances. Usually I think you put it as usually I choke, and you really got to go out and put together this big performance. And so just as we kind of start to touch on that, was there a noticeable big one thing that was different from your mindset going into trials versus your mindset going into any other? Cause you, like you said, you've been competing in grappling since you were 13, right?
Yeah.
It started with wrestling.
Yeah. Wrestling. And then I did a year off after wrestling. And then I went into MMA for 4 or 5 years. Had like 7-8 fights, and then I went into jiu-jitsu and just kind of like fell back in love with grappling. As far as like a big thing, there was a big thing, but I couldn't tell you what it was. This is the only tournament that I ever went, the only big tournament that I ever went into where I wasn't nervous. I wasn't losing sleep. My mindset was completely different. I was like just so calm. I was not stressed. I wasn't sitting up thinking about matches like, oh, what if I win? What if I lose? I was just like, good. I'm kind of just happy to be there. I was like, fuck, I'm going to get to go to trials like in Vegas. And like I said, like 17 years of choking, I didn't think I was going to make it to the second day. So I only brought one competition outfit down. So I ended up having to like wash it in the sink and dry it with a blow dryer hanging on the like vanity mirror that they give you in the hotels. And I was just like made to the second day. I remember winning my third match on the first day and being like, fuck, I'm going to the second day. And then looked who my next match was and I was like, fucking Dom Bell. Okay, sick. And yeah, I went, had like dinner with the 10th Planet guys from Vancouver. Because I was down in Vegas by myself. So I hung out with the 10th Planet guys from Vancouver and just had like a great sleep. Went to bed early, woke up early.
That is so, okay, so I guess instead of trying to dissect that one, let's go back to maybe when you think about a more recent time that you would, that you had choked at a tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me the mindset there. What have you, at least what were you feeling, in the lead up in those?
So I competed at Nogi Worlds and I lost to Yatamarko. And like, I actually felt quite good during the match. But leading up to the matches, I just would sit and like think about them. Like I would like just fucking stress about winning or losing, like what people in my gym were gonna think of me if I won or lost. I was like fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And I didn't have any of that for ADCCs. And like I think like I knew my Benji Silva match was going to be a really hard one. He's like a Nogi world champ and stuff like that. And, but even then I was just kind of like, okay, like I thought I could beat Benji Silva. I didn't think his wrestling was going to be quite as good as mine. And I thought I was going to be a little more physical than he was. But I mean, to be fair, I thought I was going to be able to beat Nicky or J-Rod too. And that didn't go well. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know exactly. I couldn't tell you exactly what the difference was.
Yeah.
I could just tell you that it honestly might just be that I'm like 30 now. I'm 31 now as a couple days ago, but it might just be that I've just been doing this for so long and I'm finally coming into my own as an athlete. I don't know.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense to me. Did you, So no staying up, no thinking, no having nightmares of Dom Bell in between.
I didn't even think about him until I stepped on the mat, except for when I walked up to him and I was like, hey, I'm a fan. And then he was like, leave me alone. So yeah, fair enough.
That's interesting. One time I grappled Dom Bell and he squeezed me at one point. I was in half guard and he got an underhook. And honestly, my spine popped from my butt to the top of my head, all the way up. Every vertebrae felt like it was breaking. And I still have nightmares about Dom Bell. So the fact that you stayed up, had a great night's sleep before fighting him the next day, that's a pretty good feat right there.
Yeah, it felt great. And also during that match, I was fucking deadpan on not letting him get on top. Because I knew he wanted to sweep me, get on top and pass. And he's fucking good at it.
So that's an interesting thought. When you think about your game plan on a tournament, when you consider it something like that, is it usually simple in those thought of, you know, hey, my best way to win is to not let this guy get on top? Or is it more detailed than that?
It depends who I'm going up against. I'm not like going to pretend to know Dom Bell's game super well. My buddy Ben Dyson had trained with Dom in the past because Ben was down at Atos for a while. So we talked about like what he was going to be good at. And Benny was like, don't let him pull open guard on you. And then I let him pull open guard on me over and over again. So I don't like, I honestly thought I was going to be able to heel hook him. Because I got so deep on that first one, I popped his ankle. And I was like, oh shit, like, I think I'm going to be able to do this. So every time he off balances me, I'm just going to fall back. I'm going to go for a heel hook. And then if I don't get it, I'll stand up, create space, and then re-engage. And, but the big thing was like, don't let Dom Bell get on top of me. Cause I think if he had got on top of me, he would have just fucking crushed me.
Yeah. Yeah.
His passing game and the way he moves his hips and like gets those underhooks and his like squeeze, his like shoulder pressure is fucking sick. So yeah. I was like, okay, I don't want to get to a position where I even give him a sniff. And if you watch most of my competition, no one, except for J-Rod, no one really gets a sniff at anything. Like no one gets an opportunity to really take any advantageous positions. Just because it's easier to stay out of stuff than get out of stuff.
So when it comes to like the rule set of ADCC trials, did you notice that you were adjusting to that throughout the tournament too? Or were you just going out and fighting?
This is my favorite fucking rule set. That is like, for me, that is like the most beneficial rule set. Because if I can't beat you, if you pull guard, let's say I can't pass your guard and I can drag you into overtime, now you have to wrestle me.
Yep.
And let's go. Like, I'm happy to do it. And I'm happy to like have like those fucking gritty ass matches where like both of us are going to be sore by the end of this. My face is going to fucking hurt. Your face is probably going to fucking hurt. I'm probably going to get called for like headbutting. I'm not trying to headbutt you, but like I'm trying to get my forehead up in your mouth. Like, it's going to be a hard match for both of you. And I by the end of it, I want you to not like me.
Yep.
I want you to be like, fuck this guy. This guy's a dick. And I'm not. I really try to be a nice dude after, but for those like 6 or 9 or 15 minutes, whatever we're competing for, like, it's a match. Like, we're here to compete in a sport at a high level. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to fucking play patty cakes. I don't care. Like, if you make me break something, I'll fucking break something. I have no problem doing that. I'll feel like shit after. And I genuinely do feel bad for hurting people after I hurt them. I always go over and apologize. But in that time, like, if you're going to make me hurt you, I'll fucking hurt you.
Do you feel like at all that you have to be two different people to have that? Because I've had a lot of conversations with you and none of your... it almost felt like while you were thinking about competing there, even your mannerisms, your facial expressions kind of changed. you know, do you feel like, cause I this is something I talk a lot about with like really good grapplers, and it does seem like they have to be two different people to compete at a high level.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, like every grappler, like high level fighter that I know is like one of the nicest people that I've met. But then you see them like compete or like get out there and they're fucking vicious. So I think you have to be able to like pick your time. You have to be able to be like super violent and then just like kind of tame that and like be like a good dude, because none of us really want to run around. I promise you, I'm training like 4 or 5 hours a day. I have a career on top of this. Like, I'm tired. I don't want to go start fights with people in the street, man. I'm fucking sore. I'm always goddamn sore. Like, I have no time for fighting some idiot on the street. I'd much rather just be like, yeah, you know what? You're right, and walk away. But when it comes time to actually like fight, I think you should know how to fight. Like, it's time to get down and dirty and let's fucking go.
So give me some buzzwords in your head when you are tough, gritty, you are fighting. Let's not even name anybody in particular, just so it doesn't come off like we're talking bad about anybody. You're fighting in the now it's time to wrestle part of ADCC trials. What are
the overtime?
The overtime. What are you thinking? What are your...
I'm probably going to put a fucking ton of pressure on you. My collar ties are going to come out super fucking hard. I'm going to try to get my forehead underneath your forehead, into your nose, into your mouth. I actually got called on it in the Dom Bell match. They end up pulling me aside and telling me they give me a minus point if I kept doing it. And then Dom Bell came in with his face up so I could put my forehead in his mouth. Like, on purpose. I was like, you're so cheeky. Like, I ended up like not doing it in that match. But like when it's time to go, it's going to be violent. Like, it's not going to be nice. We're going to go. And I personally don't care if I get called for headbutting or collar tying too hard. Like, I'll take my like warnings and stuff like that. And then I'll just keep going and I'll try to adjust during the match and make sure I don't lose any points or anything.
Makes sense. So now same thought, same question, but let's add a little more to it. You can hear your opponent breathing really heavy. Does your mindset change at all there?
Oh yeah.
What does it change to?
Way up on you.
Okay.
If I think you're tired, I'm going to turn it up. Even if I'm fucking exhausted, I train enough and I train all the time. Like, and I'm also willing to suffer for 9 minutes. I will put myself in like the most uncomfortable position I can be in for 9 minutes to make you suffer. And we'll see who breaks first. My wrestling coach growing up used to tell me, like, personally, I'm not like the most technical fighter. I'm not like super like elegant. Like I was watching some of the guys roll, like Keith. And I was like, fuck, man, like, this looks like looks like someone playing the piano. And Nabil, who was the guy who owns 10th Planet up in Vancouver, I was like, is that what I look like? And he's like, nah, he's like, this is like Mozart. You're more like hardcore metal. Like you're just gonna fucking like da 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 da. It's gonna be this like high pace, like violent match. I think I was bleeding after like my third match. I'd like cut my face open, and for like the week I got back, my entire face like peeled because I'd done so much damage to my face. I had bruises all over it. I was just so fucked up. But yeah, if you're breathing hard, I'm going to try to take it to that next level and make you even like, I want to make you quit, really.
Huh?
I want to make you like, fuck, I can take an easy way out. That's what I want to find. I want to make you find your easy way out.
Do you ever find that sometimes you're in training and you think like you start to feel that and you're like, oh, we're going really hard and you're beating the guy down way worse than you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm usually pretty good if I don't have anything coming up.
Yeah.
If I don't have any competitions coming up, I'm like, cause I'm working on stuff I suck at. I don't mind getting put in bad positions. Like I don't mind getting subbed, like whatever. I have no problem. But as soon as I start getting ready for something, like getting ready for ADCC trials, I had like 2 months and it was like 2 months of like every guy who's like purple belt and above who can give me a hard time, like you're going to get it put on you.
Hey guys, Josh McKinney here, just interrupting really quick to tell you guys about something really exciting that we have going on at SimplifyingJiu-Jitsu.com, and it is my free ebook, The Three Lenses. So there are three ways that you can look at jiu-jitsu to progress at jiu-jitsu, to get better. You can look as an athlete, a scientist, or an artist. What The Three Lenses book does is it shows you how each of the three learn, and you're able to steal ideas that you like from an artist, even though you were a scientist, or steal a routine that you like as an artist that you steal from the athletes. You're able to combine and make your own jiu-jitsu, make your own jiu-jitsu training what you want it to be to accomplish any goal that you want to accomplish. There's also a lot of definition in this ebook, a lot of words that you're going to be able to use on the mats or hear on the mats and actually understand, because we give you that simple definition at the end of the book, where we just look at all the types of training, all the different thoughts, all the different pitfalls that you might fall in as a jiu-jitsu athlete or a jiu-jitsu practitioner or a jiu-jitsu artist, whatever you want to call yourself. But again, this is only at SimplifyingJiu-Jitsu.com and it is absolutely free. So be sure to check out The Three Lenses. Let's get back to the episode. I'm trying to think how often, let's just go with this first. How often do you compete?
I mean, before COVID, I was competing locally here, in Vancouver, once a month, once every couple months. Mm-hmm. During COVID, I had one like super fight with a local professional MMA fighter. But it was super short. It's like a minute long. And I was so nervous. It was one of those things. I was so nervous getting into that. I worked myself up so much. And then I subbed him in like a minute. And then I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night because I didn't really, you know how you need that kind of release? I didn't get that. And then I actually competed the week before ADCC trials at a local tournament. Nowadays, I pretty much, I don't want to sound like a dick, but I pretty much only compete if there's going to be money.
I get that.
Like if I get, I got a, a message on Instagram from the submission only series guys. They're in LA. So I'm going down October 1st to compete on their 16 man tournament.
Nice. How's that division look? Do they tell you?
I haven't seen it yet. Oh. I haven't seen it. So I don't know who's in it, but like, John Coombs has been on the show. Like a lot of big names.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be on a show with big names, be on Flow. And it looks like it's a fucking sick venue. It looks like it, I don't know exactly what the venue is, but it looks like an actual venue and then like a big mat in the middle.
That's awesome.
Super excited about that.
That's going to be fun, man. Yeah. So let's look at that. When did your prep start for that?
So typically my prep would probably start early next month. I'd give myself about 2 months, but this one's going to be a little different. I started prep for the firefighter calendar this year. So every year we have what's called the Hall of Flame. So guys pose shirtless fire trucks in fire gear.
You got to wear a gi, right? Gi pants or something?
I wear my firefighter pants.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a career firefighter as well. That's to raise money for charity. And then, that my shoot, my photo shoot is on August 30th and 31st. And then I have a month to get ready for the next show. So right now I'm actually on a hypertrophy phase for my weightlifting, which is usually just, I usually just power lift. It's a completely different weightlifting program that I'm usually on. And I'm just training jujitsu, let's say like 5 to 10 times a week.
And those are 1 hour sessions?
Usually two.
Two. Okay.
Yeah. Depends on the day. Depends how my body feels.
What does your training look like when you say training jujitsu? Is it always live rounds? Is it drilling? What are you kind of, how does your training go?
I get like half an hour of drilling in a day. And I usually just drill stuff that I'm trying to learn. So I'll do like my studying at home, like the Danaher DVDs or someone's DVD, Craig Jones's DVDs. And then after that, I'll go to the gym and we'll try to work on stuff and like figure out the routes to get into those positions. And then I'll try to apply them live. So I try to do like a system based thing.
Yeah.
Like if this happens, then I can do this. If this happens, then I can do this and really try to tie everything together. Since I've gotten back in Vancouver in the last like 5 days, I think I've done 10 hours of live rounds.
Yeah.
On top of my lifting, I really haven't done any drilling since I've been back in Vancouver. I roll live a lot. So, I like live rounds. I fucking love just like getting in there. And I don't know if you know who Ben Dyson is.
I just do because of your Instagram.
He's fucking unreal. And he's so strong. Him and I have spicy rounds. Spicy rounds. It's not like there's almost not a week that goes by that someone doesn't have a fucking cut or a black eye. We go after it.
What about your, how kind of big is your group that you train with? Cause you said you're in a gym that's just starting now.
Yeah, actually our gym, Benny's gym is gotten huge. Like we have a lot of members, probably have like 60, 80 members.
That's awesome.
Now, and it's only been open since the beginning of this year.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it came out hot and I ended up parting ways with my old team. It was mostly an MMA gym. And and then I followed Benny to the new gym I got my black belt from Benjamin, and yeah, it's been fucking surreal. The new gym's awesome. We have a dope culture at the new gym. Like, if we have nothing coming up on Friday nights, like, someone will bring some beers in. We'll play some, we've like bought a ping pong table for after the training sessions. We'll play some ping pong. I suck at ping pong, but I still try. Have a couple beers. We all go out for dinners together after tournaments. Like, it's really, the culture there is like really good. It's like very, it's very team.
That's team awesome, based. Man.
It's amazing.
That's really cool. Are you like a coach there, or are you just a hammer there and you beat people down?
I coach if Benny's out of town.
Okay.
So like, Benny's in England right now.
Uh-huh.
So I'll run the classes. there's another guy who actually works there, Zach, purple belt. He's awesome. And then there's like a couple brown belts that help out if I'm working. But if I'm not working, then I usually just teach the classes that Benny's not around. If Benny's there, he teaches.
So what's your schedule as a firefighter?
I work right now. I work 4 on 4 off. So I have, like, I got off yesterday morning. Okay. So I work 2 days, which are 10-hour days. I have 24 hours off. And then I work 2 nights, which are 14-hour nights. And then I have 4 days off completely. So it really gives me a lot of room to train, like, almost every day. That's we cool. also have gyms at all our fire halls. I've struggled a little bit when I'm powerlifting with the gyms because there's not enough weight in them.
Yeah,
I'm squatting close to like 500 pounds now. So that's a little difficult. I just don't have enough weight there.
Uh-huh.
And my conditioning coach is like, I really, if I'm handed a program, I'm really good at following the program. I just do the program. Uh-huh. I'm not like going to make stuff up or anything like that. Like, he obviously knows more than I do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trust someone who's a professional or even just like better. Just because you're strong doesn't mean you're good at it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, Josh here. Just want to interrupt really quick and tell you about something really exciting we have going on at simplifyingjujitsu.com. So we just, and when I say we, I mean my father, Black Belt, Steve McKinney, and myself, just released our first ever instructional together. It is called How to Learn Jiu-Jitsu. For those of you who don't know, there was a pretty big piece of our training where it was just my dad and I. We were kind of learning jiu-jitsu on our own. First, we had to learn how to learn jiu-jitsu on our own. And that is what this instructional is about. It is all the different training methods that we've learned, all the ideas, all the conversations, the way we learn to talk to each other to progress at jiu-jitsu. There is 3+ hours of bonus content on this already really cool, aesthetically pleasing instructional. And this bonus content is match breakdowns. It's longer rounds between my dad and I. It's us, me teaching my dad designated winner for the first time, totally uncut, just us conversating and doing designated winner as he's trying to master a position from the guard. And so there is so much free content on how to learn jiu-jitsu. This is only available at simplifyingjujitsu.com. The link is going to be in the description. Be sure to check out and get your copy of How to Learn Jiu-Jitsu, only available at simplifyingjujitsu.com. Let's get back to the episode. And so with that schedule, you say you can train every day. Do you have trouble training every day, or are you able to pretty much get your training in all the time?
No, I miss days, like some days, because when we're training at work, we're on call.
Yeah.
So if we get a call, we go to calls. We could end up in a fire all day. I was at a call the other day where a girl got swept into the Fraser River. And we're all standing on like the shore, like raring to get in the water to go get her. And luckily they got a boat there in time.
Man.
But, so if that kind of stuff happens, you don't get to train. And usually if that happens, what I'll do is end up leaving to work and I end up going to jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do try to tuck in as much as I can. Again, like I said, some days my body's just so beat up. I just take a day, and usually Sundays, I take Sundays completely off. I don't do anything on Sundays usually. Uh-huh. It's just my day for like rest, relaxation. Maybe I'll go for like a nice walk with my dogs, stretch for once in my life. I don't know.
But that's a consistent, that's part of your routine is taking that Sunday off.
Sunday. Yeah. Sunday is my day off. I just try to do something fun on Sunday. Go scuba diving, skydiving, ride my motorcycle somewhere. Like I like extreme sports.
All right.
Like,
all right.
Like stuff.
Any other extreme sport you've tried?
I've never actually done it. Uh-huh. But me and my buddies all rented motocross bikes and went to a motocross track. Fucking unreal. Almost everyone got hurt. One of the guys chipped his ankle. I thought I broke my leg. We were like fucking throwing ourselves off these huge jumps that like professionals do and just like biffing it. And it was fucking awesome. So much fun. But fucking wow. That's a hard sport. And by the end of the day, I was so fucking sore. Mm-hmm. Like my whole body hurt. But that was super fun. As for other extreme sports, I don't know. I've done like wakeboarding, which I suck at, downhill mountain biking. I'm going to try to get into skydiving and eventually I'd like to base jump. So I'm going to go take my course out here to go skydiving, get my license to dive solo, and then see if I can get enough jumps to have somewhere let me go take a course on base jumping.
All right. Sweet, man. Do you have what's kind of your, at least in the jujitsu space, do you kind of have a plan like 5 years from now, maybe when you aren't able to compete as much, what do you kind of think you might do?
I want to compete kind of till I can't compete. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to try to compete until I can't compete. Or if I end up having a kid one day, mm-hmm. That'd be fucking awesome. I think I'd have to slow down then. I'd like to have a kid. But until then, I really have a plan. I just kind of want to, I wouldn't mind getting on like combat jujitsu. Uh-huh. Eddie Bravo, combat jujitsu. That looks fucking fun as shit. Uh-huh. I wouldn't mind being on some more fight to win pros. Got a message, Seth. I really want a shot at who's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like Garmo has been on who's number one
twice, right?
Yeah. And I subbed him.
Yeah.
So I want to be on who's number one.
Did you break his ankle or his leg?
I don't think I actually broke his ankle. I definitely hurt it. Uh-huh. I felt really bad about that actually. But he's such a good dude. Like after I heard it, I ended up going up and being like, hey, like just after the podium, I'm like, hey man, I'm so sorry. Like I didn't want to hurt you. And he's like, I would have done the same to you. I don't think I broke his ankle. I don't know. It's still taped. Like he competed at the Nationals.
Yeah.
And he still had his ankle taped.
Man, it looked like the bone bent.
Yeah, it didn't feel great. I got up and I went to celebrate because I was like, fuck, I just got third at ACC trials. I like went up and got to celebrate. And I remember being like, fuck yeah. And then being like, oh, fuck. And then turning around being like, oh my God, are you okay? I was like so excited. And then I was like, fuck, I just hurt him. I don't know how badly I hurt him. And I don't want to speak for him. I'm sure he's fine. But I was just like, fuck, like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Yeah. And he was kind of just like, fuck off, leave me alone. Yeah, fair enough.
Yep, that's a, yeah, I think that was, it. But then him saying, yeah, I would have broken yours too, man.
He's dope. He's a super good competitor. Mm-hmm. And, like I've watched him compete before. He's super fun to watch. And, tough guy, fucking tough. I think he thought I was going to heel hook him. I don't know, but I think he thought I was going to go for a heel hook, mm-hmm. which is why he went that way and went belly down. And I'm just holding onto the straight ankle lock. I finish a lot of straight ankle locks.
You finished two others, right?
One other.
You finished the inside heel hook, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But in competition, I finish a lot of straight ankle locks. I feel like there's not a ton of respect put on them.
Totally agree.
But if you're really strong and you get the good position, like right on that ankle joint, mm-hmm. you're going to break someone's leg. Like, mm-hmm. it's going to go, especially if you end up belly down and it's like gravity, my whole body versus your fucking ankle joint. It's not going to go well, but yeah.
So let's say biggest thing you would want to get on. What do you think?
My biggest thing? Fuck. It's probably a toss up between who's number one, because I really want to be on that show. I think that'd be a fucking cool show to be on. And it's like all the big names and just to even have my like name up with those, you know what I mean? Cause like my whole life, I had like a couple goals my entire life, like get hired as a firefighter, get my black belt and podium at an international, like big event. And like I'd achieved a couple of those. And I'd never seen the success of the big event and then ACCs. And I was like, oh my God, like I tackled another one of my life goals. And like that one video of me and Garmo has like 200,000 views or something. And, people shredding me, like making fun of me, people fucking complimenting me. Like it was like this whole myriad of things and it was super exciting. But I really want to be on the combat jiu-jitsu show because I feel like mostly what I do in matches is already combat jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. Like I'm already slapping people basically. So I think that'd be such a fucking fun event to be on. And then you get to be in Cancun for it. They fly you down and they put you up and then you party after. And like, I think that'd be a super fun show to be on.
That I think you're right. I think that would be, yeah. I would love to see you on the combat jiu-jitsu show. We'll make sure to make this a clip on the podcast. Yeah,
please do.
Yeah,
please
we'll
do.
Make sure Eddie to share Bravo. This one. Tag Eddie Bravo. In it.
Put me on the combat jiu-jitsu show, please.
All right.
I'll do 185, 205. I don't care. Just put me on it.
So as you're kind of, looking at the next thing, what's the next big goal for you? Do you have, you've accomplished, you think combat jiu-jitsu will be it? Got to get there.
If I get on a show like that, that would be that'd be a really big deal for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a fucking big deal for me. This isn't my full-time thing. Like I just don't do jiu-jitsu. I train a fuck ton and like I put like my heart and soul into this and it's really what I love. I love jiu-jitsu. I love grappling. I don't get paid for anything I do. I don't teach privates. If someone wants to ask me questions, I'll spend like 30 minutes with them just going over stuff. I literally love it. I don't want to turn it into a job. Mm-hmm. So every step of the way that I achieve something or I get put on a show, it's a big deal for me. It's huge for me. I know like a lot of the other guys who like medal at ACCs or who like get on these big shows, it's not a big deal. It's what they do. They mm-hmm. do it all the time. But for me, like it's super fucking exciting. Like for me to medal at the trials, I know it's third, but bro, I was on top of the world.
Of course.
I was on top of the world. It was so amazing for me. And it was such a fun event. And like, I talked to Mo after and I was like, man, like, thank you. Like, I appreciate the opportunity. Like, fuck, this was fun. I was telling Seth, like they did such a good job on that show. And it being like the biggest trials to happen, like 1,000 competitors and like, every bracket's just fucking packed and it was surreal. So if I get put on one of those big shows, that's going to be a fucking huge deal for me. And like, give me like a little poster with my face on it. I don't know. I'll put it up in my apartment. I love this shit. It's my favorite thing to do.
People that, I think it's really hard for people to understand if they've gotten to, because there are not a lot of people that get this, but they've gotten to train at a gym that creates a lot of really good grapplers. They're like, yeah, we're on every show. you know, flow grappling, post something, we're there. And when you have a smaller team and you have a smaller, you know, a group of guys that train just as hard, you know, and put in just the same amount of time, but then get some notoriety from it, you know, it is such a cool thing in jiu-jitsu. It's such a, special thing because it's just incredibly hard to be from a place that isn't a mecca of jiu-jitsu and be good at jiu-jitsu.
Even living in the States is so beneficial. To live in the States and do jiu-jitsu is so beneficial. For me, like in Vancouver, we have shows up here, like, but we don't have any like big shows. We've nothing on Flow. We have nothing on UFC Fight Pass. But it's hard when you're from Vancouver and you're trying to do jiu-jitsu at like on like those big stages. You're trying, it feels like you're trying to constantly trying to play catch up. And then COVID happened and they shut up, they shut us down. I didn't compete for 2 years. Basically I competed once, like all our training was underground. My buddy and I were training in a room that was like 100 square feet. There are more holes in that drywall in that room. Like we still have to go back and patch that shit up. It was like, we were like worried about getting like the health authority called on us. Like we'd like sneak in. It was like this, like, speakeasy jiu-jitsu. It was crazy time. But during COVID, like, and I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this being doing what I do. I took like a day off. Like my buddy and I called each other, Benny and I called each other and we're like, hey man, like we should, you know what? Like, let's see where this goes. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. Like the next day we called each other back and we're like, fuck this. Like I miss jiu-jitsu. I'm like, can we train? It's just me and you. Like, we'll just put in hard work and see what happens. But, you guys down in the States were all still competing. Like Texas was open. Fucking Florida's a madhouse. So people are just flying around the States and you guys are still allowed to compete at a super high level because that's fucking where everyone's from right now. The teams moved. Teams went to Puerto Rico. Teams went back to Texas. You know what I mean? Like, so cool. So cool. And, like, Vancouver just doesn't have that. And for me, like, every time I want to be on a show, I got to fly somewhere. So I had to, like, get on a plane or, like, I had to drive for, like, 6 hours. And I don't mind doing it. No, I'm not complaining. I'll do it 1,000 times. I'll take time off work. I will come down. I will compete. Whenever. But fucking is extra work, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like readily available.
Dude, I also feel like those I totally understand that. I really do. I you know, we're from the middle, we're in the flyby states, and there's just you are so far from what you know what there is. Just so much easier when you have a local Texas guy saying, hey, we need a spot filled, let's get this guy.
Did you see the match in combat jiu-jitsu where the guy got knocked out by Damon? Damien, that is my buddy from Mexico. When I was down in, I was cave diving in, on the Yucatan Peninsula, like scuba diving in the caves. And, I ended up training with him for like a week. Super good guy, good at jiu-jitsu, but he gets to go on all the shows cause he lives right there. So every time they have a show, Eddie Bravo's just like, we need someone filled, put him on. And like sick, that's such a cool thing to be able to like be there for that. You know what I mean? Instead of flying some fucking kid from Vancouver down to Mexico to compete.
Don't worry. We'll make sure that you get on. We'll make sure.
I appreciate you.
Yeah. We'll make sure that we get on.
I know it's supposed to be you asking me questions, but how was your travels? Cause I know you said you had to go to like PAMS right after that, right?
And you had like four flights
and a drive.
So what I ended up doing was I had like, I think all together throughout the weekend, I think I had 7 flights canceled. And there was some storm in like Florida and it ruined the flights for like the country. You know, it was so bad. It was during spring break when all the planes were there and it just messed up flights. And so flights were getting canceled, but you would only get them canceled with like 12-hour notice. There would be like no delay on your flight. And then all of a sudden your flight was just gone. And so I end up flying back to flying back to St. Louis, which is where I'm from. And then we drove, my wife picked me up at the airport in the middle of the night. We drove from there 12 hours to Alabama, and I have family that lives there. We stayed there a night and a day. And then I drove like 9 hours to Orlando for PANS and coached for one day, and then drove 9 hours back, and then got my wife and then drove home.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. My wife, she was like, I told her, like, I think this is what I'm going to do. And she's like, hey, drop me off in Alabama and I'll get a few day vacation, you know, with our family. So she was, you know, it ended up being good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it worked out. Flight thing's a pain in the ass though.
It really, man, it really is. Especially when you're in like Vegas from where I live. I think it was like a 24-hour drive or something. There's no way I'm making it from Vegas.
Crazy.
So let's look, kind of we get to the end. Let's look just a few questions I like to ask people on the show. Let's look at first off, what is some of the best jujitsu advice you've ever gotten?
Oh man.
And it could be wrestling advice too, grappling advice, I guess we can call it.
The best advice I've ever gotten from anyone is like, if you look around a room, any room, and mostly any belt, 50% of the people in that room will not be there next year on average. So if you stick with it and you don't quit, and you will be better than 50% of the people in the room. And another thing I would say is, like, to everyone who hates losing, is don't be afraid to lose. Go and lose over and over and over again. I coached a kid at Worlds a couple years ago who ended up losing his first match. And he was kind of like sulky afterwards. He felt really bad. I get it. Sucks losing. And I was like, bro, like, I've lost more matches in my life than you've ever competed in. I'm going to lose a million times. At least you're doing it. You're out here. You're having fun. But I think that'd be my advice. It's just like, don't quit, keep with it, go and lose.
That's really good. Were there times that you wanted to quit jujitsu?
Jujitsu, no. I've never.
Wrestling?
I quit wrestling when I graduated high school. I had the opportunity to go to university. Uh-huh. I hated it. I hated losing. I'd like came second in our provincials, kept losing to the same guy. And I was just tired of like, putting in like so much hard work, like hours and hours and hours a day. And since I was a kid, and then just not seeing anything from it. So I ended up not training anything for a year from like 18 to 19. I didn't do anything. I just lifted weights. And then, I was 19 and I wanted to fight. And I went back to a gym, and I think I'd like that for that year. I think I smoked a pack of ciggies a day, drank the whole time. And I like remember walking to the gym, handing my pack of cigarettes to a homeless person, never smoking again. I quit drinking for like 4 years, didn't touch a drop of alcohol. And then fuck. But jujitsu, since I started jujitsu, man, no, I love jujitsu. I love every minute of it. I don't mind losing. Jujitsu has been like such a different experience than the rest of my career. Uh-huh. The rest of my like time grappling has been so different. It's just like this thing that I love doing, and I love it. And I think a lot of that came with maturity and just understanding, like, I do this because I love it. I'm not doing this because I expect to be the best in the world one day. Mm-hmm. I just do this because I love it. I fucking love it. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life.
That makes sense to me, man. I hear that. Yeah, I really do.
I try to explain to people. I'm like, listen, like, do jujitsu for a month. Give it a month. If you don't love it, I'll be fucking blown away, but you can quit. Do it for a month. This shit will change your life. It will make you a better person in every single aspect of your life.
Dude, that's true. That's very true. Yeah. Let's look at this real quick to finish. So this used to be our finisher of this question, but you've had good answers for everything. So I think I'll bring back our new, our old finisher of the show. Okay. So do you ever teach any seminars?
I don't think I've ever taught a seminar.
So let's say that that's you're
actually,
teaching.
Sorry, that's actually not true. That's okay. Actually not true. I taught a wrestling seminar for like high school kids and adults, but it was very, it was for, I volunteer for a local wrestling organization or local wrestling club. And it was supposed to be like a seminar where people pay money. But instead of that, what I did was I put all the money back into the program. So any kids who couldn't afford to buy boots, any kids who can't afford to go to the tournaments, anything like that, pay for that. Because no kid should ever have to go without being able to play sports because your family's not as affluent or you don't have money. Like, that's shit. So I did teach one seminar recently, but and that's how I did it. I just like donated all the money back into the program so kids could have the opportunity to do something like this.
Man, that's really cool. So let's say we just fast forward maybe a year from now and you're teaching a combat jujitsu seminar because you're 185 pound combat world champion, right? So at some point in the seminar you do some question and answer and I raise my hand and I am a newer, let's say I'm a brand new blue belt, and I say, Mike, I suck at jujitsu, how do I suck less at jujitsu?
Oh man, don't worry, man. I suck at jujitsu too. I'd say, and like the answer everyone's going to say, but it's, you got to show up. You got to show up. Show up on the days you don't want to show up. I love the sport. A lot of fucking days I don't want to go to the gym. Like, I have 2.5 hours after this podcast. I go train for 2.5 hours with a jujitsu brown belt. He's a black belt in judo and he was like an Olympic alternate. He's fucking mustard. And I'm fucking sore, man. I'm sore everywhere. My goddamn body hates me right now. But show up as much as you can, as much as you want to. If you really want to suck less, show up just all the time. And like, when your girlfriend asks you to stay home that night, tell her, nah, go to the gym.
Break up with her, right?
Right, that's it, leave it. It's the most dangerous arm drag of all time. My girlfriend grabs you by the hand and that's it.
Oh, you know, man. How many
great jujitsu players have been lost to their own misses.
Yeah, we call it the kiss of death at our school, you know?
Oh, happens all the time. It's unreal. Fucking hell. Oh, man. But no, just show up, study. Depends how serious you want to take it. Studying off the mat. And another thing I would say is a lot of guys use injuries as a way to not train. Mm-hmm. You can pretty much train through every injury. I don't care what it is. I mean, obviously there are some things you can't train through, but drill, you can fucking watch tape. You can watch people compete. You can watch DVDs of people teaching. There are so many things you can do to get better. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone's hurt and they sit home, or they come and they sit on the side of the mats at my gym or at Benny's gym, I'm like, bro, like, do something. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I don't know, shrimp for an hour. You know what I mean? You can always do something. So I don't like the injury excuse myself. Every time I've been injured, I've torn my meniscus on both knees. I've separated my ribs. My shoulders were so bad a couple of years ago, I literally couldn't put a t-shirt on. I had to like bend over because I couldn't lift my arm up. I'd like bend over and like pull a shirt over my body. I never miss a day of training for any of that. So again, how serious you want to take it, but if you want to suck less, show up.
That's a good answer. That's a really good answer.
That's all I got.
So Mike, do you have anything to say to finish?
Honestly, man, thanks for having me on my first podcast. It's been super cool. Yeah, really cool experience. And a lot of this coming from the ADCC trials thing. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast, man. It's been amazing.
Man, thanks for being on. I really enjoyed the conversation. It was what I was hoping. It was the stuff I was hoping we would get to talk about. And it really felt like it flowed well.
Yeah, that was amazing. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you. If there is anywhere that if somebody liked, you know, stuff you had to say, would there be anywhere they could follow you on social media, anything like that?
I really only have Instagram. It's just Mike Crisp BJJ. And follow me. And if you have any questions, shoot me a message. I respond basically to everyone who asks me anything. 3,000 followers.
All right. But how much follower increase did you get from trial?
Two times overnight.
All right.
I ended up turning my notifications off on my phone.
That's awesome.
I just shut everything off because my phone was like ding 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 ding.
That's
ding,
awesome.
I was like, oh my god, I can't. I'm not super good at social media, just something that I could be better at. I find it difficult to like be on it. And like guys are doing all these like cheesy posts that people love. You know what I mean? I just hate all that stuff. So I try to put stuff out there. There's also no like personal stuff on my Instagram. It's just all jujitsu. Mm-hmm. I think if you have a big following, it can really benefit your like getting matches and stuff like that. So It's nice to get a little bit of love. And the ADCC, I think it was because Flo posted me on their thing. It was just like, boom, like overnight, just like everyone liking my photo, everyone following me, people taking photos with me at the event. I was like, I didn't even know what to do.
That's really cool.
It's like two girls came up and were like, hey, can we get a photo with you? And I was like, yeah. And I like put my arm around both of them. And I was like, oh, wait, like, should I do that? I end up looking like fucking Ricky Bobby. Like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm almost 100% sure there's a photo out there where I'm like this because I didn't know what to do with my hands. But that's the first experience of any of that I've ever had. Like, so it was surreal. It was so cool.
Well, now you're prepped. Now you're prepped for combat wrestling or combat jiu-jitsu.
Combat jiu-jitsu.
You should do combat wrestling too. Have you ever seen that?
No.
So combat wrestling is like a newer sport. I've competed in it. It is it's not striking. It's not like open hand slaps. It is jiu-jitsu, except every out of bounds starts from the feet. Because it's more of a wrestling point set. I think you can, you can tech people in it. You can submit people in it, but cool. It's a super cool.
Do you get points for like gut wrenches and stuff like that? Do you guys have to go belly down?
I don't know what the ranking, I should know better what the point system of this is. But there are definitely different points for like levels of throws and stuff like that.
Who puts it on?
I want to say it's called the Combat Wrestling, International Combat Wrestling World Organization, something like that. Something very world. It's very new. If you look up combat wrestling, you'll find it.
Sweet, man.
Yeah, you should do that too.
If you get a chance, you should send it to me. I'll look it up, but send it to me if you can. And I'll definitely, that would be super fun. It's been a long time since I've done like wrestling.
And you're wearing wrestling shoes.
Sick.
Yeah.
Can you like heel hook and stuff?
You can't heel hook. You can any other leg lock.
Okay.
Just no heel hooks.
Crazy. Is it kind of like, what's that Russian one where they wear a gi on top?
Sambo. No, I don't think it's, I don't really know anything about Sambo, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't want to show my lack of grappling experience. This is a random story. I almost, one time, one of my students are really, really good, I was a really good wrestler in high school, and he had kind of a similar thing to you, didn't really want to wrestle in college. Now is a really, really good black belt, and he has competed at this combat wrestling worlds, and he won their weight and open class at their, at two different tournaments. But, so he's just, like he's in their Hall of Fame and stuff. So they started inviting him to all these, it was right before COVID. So none of it actually happened. But they were inviting him to all these really weird rule set wrestling tournaments, and he was going to be the only American representative. And they said, hey, you'll need to supply, you could bring your own coach if you wanted. And so he's like, oh, well, bring my coach. And there was this situation. It didn't happen, but I was going to end up on a committee because I was going to be the American representative for the whatever wrestling organization this was. And I was going to have to vote on new rule changes. And I was like, dude, I don't even know. Like, I couldn't even vote on freestyle wrestling rule changes. There's no way. Like, there, and they were weird rule sets too. One of them,
like folk style,
dude. One of them, he was climbing up a mountain and fighting different rounds of these tournaments up the mountain.
What?
I swear to you. That's how they were, like, in the countries, like the Russian countries and stuff. And they're these crazy wrestling rule sets. But none of it ended up happening because of COVID. Screwed us over.
Is there any, like, opportunity to do it again or no?
I don't know. We'll see.
If you do the thing where he climbs the mountain and fights people on different levels, sounds like a fucking video game. Let me know. I will tune in 100%. I will tune into that. That's fucking cool as shit.
Yeah. I'll have to find out what the name of it is. I'll have to, cause I know he knows, still knows all the names of these things.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just really obscure.
Cool.
But anyway, it was great having you on the podcast, man.
Thank you so much, man. Hopefully I talk to you soon.
All right. And that is the episode. Thank you guys for listening to this one. I really had a blast getting to talk with Mike again, and honestly getting to talk with him after the podcast was over too. He's just seems like a really good dude. Seems like a really good dude who really is a tough competitor. I really learned a lot about mindset from him just in our few conversations. How to kind of be fierce, you know, how to go out and be mean to people, even when you're a nice guy, right? Maybe that should be the name of this episode. But that's all I have for you guys today. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Hopefully we can continue to have guests on the show. You know, I really have been doing a lot more solo episodes. I was telling Mike this. I think it's been like 4 months since I have had somebody I don't know incredibly well on the show, meaning like my dad or Logan, who, you know, I've known my dad forever, obviously, and then Logan I've known for 14 years, right? Really haven't had, or Kyle, my coach. I really only have people I know super duper well. So it's going to be fun to get some podcasts and introduce you guys to some new people. Because I have a lot of podcast interviews planned. I just haven't really gotten the ball rolling until, well, now. But we have some in-person interviews we'll be doing next week. Unless something crazy happens, I would assume next week we'll be back with a solo episode. But then I think after that, we're going to be doing maybe going back to every other week with solo in interview. I don't know. We'll see. Let me know what you guys like. Send me an email, josh@simplifyingjujitsu.com. And that's all I have for you guys today. I hope you guys like today's episode. And I hope today's episode helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jujitsu. Have a great day, guys. Hey guys, Josh here again. I notice that the podcast is over, but you are still listening. So you might still be in search of some really good free content that the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show provides. So if that is the case, if you guys are looking for some solo episodes where you can learn more about efficiency and effectiveness in Jiu-Jitsu, I would highly recommend two episodes. The first is episode 111, and that is on blitzing. It's this idea of pacing that most people, even black belts, don't think about. And then episode 129 is on designated winner. It is this new training concept that we have been doing at my team. We've been talking about a lot on the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. I've actually been traveling the country and teaching this training method. And so as we continue to grow the show, I think that is going to be the episode that I push most people to. It's episode 129, designated winner, learning to master the flow. This is kind of the missing piece between drilling and flowing and positional sparring. You kind of get to combine all three of those things with Designated Winner and get the effects of all three of those things with Designated Winner. Also, if you guys are interested, if you're looking for some more deep dives into specific things in Jiu-Jitsu, you can always go to simplifyingjiu-jitsu.com, where I have all of my instructionals, all of my dad's instructionals, and actually a few from my coach Kyle Watson, my friend Nick Sanders, John Prine, really some amazing black belts instructing you at simplifyingjiu-jitsu.com. Also at simplifyingjiu-jitsu.com, I have a free ebook for you guys. It is called The Three Lenses. It is the three lenses that people look through to learn jiu-jitsu. Most of us only ever see or learn from one of the lenses. And simply by adding the extra perspective of the other two, you will triple how quickly you get good at jiu-jitsu, especially how well you understand jiu-jitsu. And that is what this free ebook really provides, is a very good way for you to understand the language, understand what's happening, understanding why you are getting better, or more importantly, why you're not getting better. And you can use this free ebook, and it will help you diagram what you want to, getting to the goals you want to get to. And so that is all I have for you guys. Make sure to check out Designated Winner. Make sure to check out, everything that I have at simplifyingjiujutsu.com, whether it is free or it is paid. You can also follow me on Instagram at the Josh McKinney. If you ever have any questions or comments, or you want to send a suggestion for a Suck Less Saturday episode, you can email me, josh@simplifyingjiujutsu.com. I read all those emails. Sometimes they get repetitive, so I combine five or six emails to be a Suck Less Saturday episode. But keep those emails coming so I can keep producing great jiu-jitsu content, and I can keep hearing from the people who actually enjoy the show and want to keep hearing the jiu-jitsu content that I produce. Have a great day, guys. I hope this last little few minute clip helps you suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day.